kids, with February coming and January ending, we have this contest going on right now where the person who does the best caricature, the best caricature of myself and Mr. Sam Vera gets some really cool stuff. So if you want to get down with the get down, send us your submissions, do a caricature of us two knuckleheads, and the best one gets some swag. So send us those submissions. You can DM me at Medina Whip on Instagram or at Catch the Craze on Instagram or even on Facebook. Go to our Facebook fan page and check us out there. All right? Good.
We're back. I like this hook. You got a book you want to tell us about? Well, let's talk. There's no other place to do it. Only on Catch the Craze. Catch the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I got a jingle for you. I am your host with the most. Our show can be heard from coast to coast. To my left, there's no other than my co-host on the mic. You know he never chokes. Yo, you have you heard? It's all the rage. On the gram, it's all about Catch the Craze. Don't dare act up. Don't misbehave. Now on with the show. Today's your day.
You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Very impressive.
Catch the Craze.
And I'm listening. I'm here with
George, the Dreamer Medina. I mean,
your turn.
How do I follow that? You just set me up for failure right now, bro. You had this whole thing ready, you rapping, and I'm over here supposed to say, George, the Dreamer Medina. Like, Dreamer. It just doesn't work. Holy cow. Wow, you've been in the lab, huh?
I actually wrote. I actually wrote this today on your way here.
I just saw that. I was like, oh, he's going up the top of the dome. Nope. There it is.
I just wrote it.
There it is.
Just wrote it. Took me a minute. I thought I had fun.
Okay, no, that's good.
I like that.
Very impressive. Nice. Nice. You should make that the intro.
I know, right?
Why not?
No. We got a whole lot of intros.
Oh man.
But all right. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Welcome, February 28th, everybody. Yes.
So that you understand, we couldn't afford our laundry bills, which is why the last show and this show, we're wearing the same thing.
Exact same clothes. Same. I was thinking that too. I was like, holy cow, I'm wearing the same clothes.
I went to the Mos Eisley Cantina on Tatooine.
Nice.
Yes. If you have.
Where'd you get this? You ordered this from what?
StarWars.com.
You went to StarWars.com?
No, I got this on Amazon.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's funny.
I get everything on Amazon.
Nice.
Yes. So, would
you get that mug?
I got this mug on Catch the Craze.
There you go.
I actually closed up shop with this guy, and I just started a new store that we started promoting. What is the name of the thing? Tea something.
So wait, so you can't get those mugs anymore?
Well, you will be able to get them on the new shop.
There you go.
The other one's
new shop.
The new shop.
New and shop, coming soon.
Coming soon, yes. So you'll see that very soon. So I'm working on the store with... You'll be able to get the Catch the Craze joints, and you'll also be able to get the Stop Acting Up joints.
There you go. Now, you know what? I got to commend you because you've been very busy at work, and I know it's taken a whole month for us to talk about this, but you have a website now.
I have a website.
You have a website. Good for you. What is the name of the website? Tell us the name of the website.
iCreateStories.com.
That's nice.
How'd you like that? That's nice. How'd you like that?
You've had that for a while. You must have had that for a while.
No.
No, you just got it and it was available?
As soon as one become available.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, I don't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have The Art of Samuel Vera.
Okay.
Right? And .com. But I was like, nah, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have Crazy Comics and I have Catch the Craze and I have Duty's World and I have CosmicWars.com and all that stuff, whatever. But I was like, what really do I do? And I wanted to capture the answers of what I do, and I create stories. And so I was like, you know what? Let's go see. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's available.
Wow.
It's on me, B.
So you got it.
I locked it in.
There you go.
And now it's worth $1,200 if you want to buy it from me.
Jesus.
Immediately.
Flip it.
Yes. Can you flip it? In fact, I think it's my Catch the Craze is worth $3,000 if you wanted to buy it from me.
Really?
Yep.
$3,000.
Because I own CatchTheCraze.com and CatchTheCraze.tv.
Oh, okay.
And I got cast. I got a bunch of different versions of
that Cast alone could be a business, bro. Just flipping, you know, just domain names. I own about
25 dot coms.
Really?
Yes.
Now, do you pay for them every year? Because you have to. You have to re up. Yeah.
It's one of those things that auto renew, and I just watch some of them rise in value, and then when I get the right offer, if it's worth it, I'll sell it.
Yeah, I actually own one called I'll Tell You, and it's spelled A I S L E. I'll Tell You. Yeah. .com.
What are you
Well, that's
secrets.
Yeah, secrets.
Secrets.
It's a secret. It's a secret.
Yeah. So icreatestories.com.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out. I just uploaded it this weekend. I spent 72 hours, whatever, working on the website. Well, so
you uploaded it that at the beginning of the month.
At the beginning of the month.
At the beginning of the month.
See, again.
Yes.
Sticker.
Yes. Yes. Sticker. I feel bad because last show we had Christian Aluas on the show, and he had a. I guess the presentation. He was going to be at a panel.
Yes.
On the 8th, I believe, or the 9th.
Right.
And this show didn't air till the 21st. So hopefully you guys made it out to Christian's show on the 9th. If you did not, I'm sorry, Christian. But we will be posting. Well, we posted that anyway. Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. And you do realize that we're on live on TV.
Yes, we're all
live. Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I got this going.
So boom! There's the website.
iCreateStories.com.
iCreateStories.com.
Yes, and it opened up with my flagship title, which is Disney on My Toilet. It's always be my baby. So you'll be able to see everything from the comic books, the children's books, the comic books, the bio, the contact, the blog, and the podcast. You can also get the episode of Catch the Craze up there.
Nice. There it is.
See that? Boom.
Sweet.
How'd you like those green apples?
So, I love it. I love it.
So that's there. So what do we got going today? Well, first, who's our guest?
Okay, so I wanted to segue from here, but we can do that later. No, don't worry about it. Our guest today is the incomparable Mr. Eric Hutchinson from NBN Studios. I was going to call it comics. NBN Studios. This guy is incredible, man. He's doing everything out there. So I'm very excited to have him on the show. I spoke to him yesterday. He's in LA, so there's a time difference, and he's a very, very busy man. But he made some time, and he'll be with us today. So I'm very excited about that. I haven't spoken to him in a while, so it'll be nice to catch up.
Right.
But yeah, he's got some very, very cool things going on. And as always, we have our topic for today under your Get Your Meds.
Get Your Medinas.
Segment. And so today,
meds backwards is Sam does everything masterfully.
You've been thinking about this. You have a lot of time on your hands. Holy crap.
Yeah, you like that, right?
Wow,
now.
You're creepy.
You like that, yes.
Wow.
The pinky and the brain.
You know what really, definitely. You know what really would really, really blow my mind is if you had something for your and get. But I'm sure you will by the next time we do the show.
<You're gay>.
Anyway, so yes. So I wanted to transition from the website you have, which is I create stories.
Yes.
And I have a website called Medina Whip, Work in Progress. And here we are, these two individuals
Reasonable.
Who for some reason have decided that we're gonna write comics.
Yes.
And we can't seem to stop because you were away for a little bit.
A little bit.
And then you just came back. It was like, it just kept pulling you back.
Like that 60-year-old Rambo.
You know? Wow. I was thinking The Godfather.
The Godfather?
But I got you.
Give enough, he gives you. Yeah.
So the topic for today is comics. Some writer's obsession. So what is the obsession with writing comics? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we write comics?
Sociopaths.
You think so?
Yes. I think we agree. Sociopaths. I think here's two things. It's an escape.
Okay.
So I think what comics, in my opinion, what it does is it allows you to control the narrative. It allows you to paint a picture, create worlds, and it becomes an escape from reality.
Okay.
Right? So it gives you that moment of getting away from the madness of the world, the madness of the noise, politics, traffic, expectations, responsibilities, paying the rent, mortgage, all this other, right? And then you get to just get lost in your craft. And I think comic book creators, they get to tap into multiple worlds. If you're an artist-writer combo, you are
basically a cinematographer. You're a screenplay writer. You're a director. You're a producer. You're the cameraman. You're all of the above, right? So you get to work in multiple facets. So it gives you an opportunity to just wear a lot of different hats and flex a lot of different muscles.
Yeah, you know, before you said that, I was going to ask you, okay, if it's an escape, if you're trying to escape and you're trying to, you know, just be in a different world, I mean, you can do that writing a novel. You can do that writing, you know, say a screenplay. Why specifically comics? But I think you answered the question. I think that, and part of that, to piggyback on your response, I think that there is no budget when you're doing comics, right? If you want to draw an explosion that takes out a city block, there is no CGI department you got to pay for to do that. Or right. There is no lot that has to create a little model that you have to blow up. Yes, you just draw it. You just write it. And if you're the artist, you draw it. Or if you have an artist that you are, you know, that you are hiring, or right. a buddy that wants to draw for you, they just draw it and right. it's there.
Yes.
But it's funny because I have a couple of guys, I posted this up on Facebook, and some guys, and they were a couple of answers, and tell me what you think about this one. So a friend of mine, Joe Holly, who's actually going to be at a show that we're doing in May, he said, as much as I like drawing, I like writing and finding ways to be a better writer. I always wanted to do the comic I wanted to read about. So his reason for writing comics is, this is the comic I want to read. So yes. I'm going to write it.
Yes.
And I've heard that a lot. What do you think about that notion of writing the comic you want to read?
There's nailing in my toilet.
That's the comic you want
how
to read.
How many colleagues, mm-hmm. how many people in the industry, in the comic circuit, professionals were ridiculing, you know, what I did, right? Like, why don't you do some real stuff, right? Why don't you do some real comics? But it was the comic that I wanted to read. Mm-hmm. It was the comic that I had fun doing.
Yeah.
And you benefited from that fun if you actually read it.
Right.
So I think, I think that for me was, everybody wants Superman. Everybody wants all these things. And I wanted duty.
You wanted duty. You did it to yourself.
Dude, bro.
I just wanted duty. Yeah.
Yes. I wanted duty, which is the name of the alien from the book, The Alien in My Toilet.
That's his name, guys. His name is Duty. He's yes. from the planet Uranus.
Yes.
I mean, Joe's just continued. Did he give up?
Huh?
But he just gave up on the door. Yeah, we had an intruder trying to get into the studio. And
yes.
I think he's being turned away right now.
Yeah, he has a separation anxiety, and he's trying to get.
Is it your dog or a cat?
It's a dog.
It's a dog. Okay.
Yeah, and so he has to be at my side everywhere, so now he's like a little mad.
Yeah, we had a little scratching on it.
Yeah, he's like, chick. But so I think that's perfect because that Cosmic Wars mm-hmm. is the story that I wanted to read, whereas, you know, I created Forbidden, but there were a lot of people who wanted me to finish that. They wanted to read, but I was happy doing Disney in My Toilet. You know what I mean? So I think we find that space
yeah.
where we get to have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't take up a lot of time with relations to writing a novel. A novel can take a year or 2 years. You know, where a comic book, you can get it done quarterly if you're doing all of it. Or if you're working with others every 3 months.
Now, do you think it's easier to write a comic?
I think if you have the plot, you have the premise, you have the character bios, yes. Mm-hmm. It is a lot easier. But the hard part is having your plot, having your summary, well, your character bios.
It's funny because, yes.
That's the hard part.
That's what I'm saying. Because I had a conversation about this with Jonathan. Our friend Jonathan Syfax.
Yes.
Big shout out to John. I don't know what the baby thing is. What is the baby? What's the baby?
When I think Syfax, I think fun facts.
So you think of a baby?
I giggle.
You giggle. You laugh. Making fun of our friend Jonathan. He's not making fun of you, Jonathan.
I'm not making fun of Jonathan. I'm just laughing with you because.
Okay, Jonathan, he's laughing with you. He's
he was the king
with you.
Of facts.
He is the king of facts. He loves facts.
Yes.
But he's gotten better. He's gotten better.
He's got better?
He's gotten better.
No alternative
a little
facts?
Little bit. He's gotten better.
He was the originator of alternative facts.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Alternative facts? I call him Jonathan Fun Facts. I call him Fun Facts.
Fun Facts with Side Facts. But
Fun Facts with Side Facts.
How many times we did the show, and he was adamant. It's a fact. Blah, blah, blah. So then we're sitting there Googling.
Oh, I do remember this. Yes.
We would always have to research.
Holy, that's a while ago. I forgot about that. Yes. Well, you know me. I forget about everything.
I know you. Yes.
But anyway, we're having a conversation.
Throws me under the bus all the time because he forgets. Yeah, and then he'll remember a month later. You know what? I did remember.
Yeah. But listen, so I was talking to him and we were talking about writing and we were talking about how, what's harder, prose or comics? Mm-hmm. And I kind of, when he said to me, oh, you know, writing comics is easier. And you know, if I'm wrong, Jonathan, you know, write in the comments, you're wrong. That's not what we talked about. And we can have a whole discussion. That'd be great. But he, I think basically what he was saying was it's harder to write a novel because you have to write a visual, right? You have to write visually. So you have to write every little thing that's happening on the page. You have to be able to describe it so that the person who's reading it can see it.
Yes.
Whereas in a comic, you say, hey, listen, panel one, draw this guy, you know, puking. Cool. And the artist takes care of the rest. That part is hard. But it's like what you said. The hard part of that, and I think that both mediums are hard because you still have to have a premise. You still have to have the plot. The characters have to make sense. You have to have pacing, beats. All of that still has to be in a comic. Mm-hmm. It's hidden behind the script that you're writing because you're just writing panel descriptions.
Yes.
But it's still all there. So that's still tough.
Yes.
Now, the part about, you know, writing the prose, obviously, is going to take you a lot longer because you have to be able to visually describe everything that's happening.
I can tell you right now, I've been working on a novel, ARG. I changed it. Originally, it was going to be a children's book, but I decided to write it as a novel. And because I'm working on other projects, whenever I go back to it, because I have, I think, 6 chapters in, whenever I go back to it, I have to go back and read the whole thing again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is the hard part. Whereas once you have your Bible for your comic books, all I have to do is flip through because I already have each issue. I have a treatment for each issue. So I have a plot for each issue. So I already know this is what's happening in the open, the middle, and the end in each issue with a comic book. So it's easier to go back because I already have it already laid out.
Yeah.
With a novel,
yeah.
You know, if you take some time off, when you go back, you have to refresh.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that, I think, and because you're creating, you have to remember, you have to look pacing. You know, where am I here? At what point did I introduce this character? You know, did it make sense? Did it link up? You know, you find yourself doing drafts, you know, several drafts.
Yeah.
With a comic book, it's easier to be able to edit on the fly. I think because once you already have all the substance stuff that you already did in the back end, which is the lengthy time, then you can adjust easier.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
especially if you're the artist and the writer. If you're both, you can obviously do it, you know.
When I plotted out duty, I drew it first, and then
that was a different process. Yes,
and then I wrote the dialogue afterwards. That was a process, so I let the visuals dictate the dialogue because I already knew the plot. You know what I mean? So, and a lot of it was, you know, slapstick humor. So it all depends on what the subject matter is.
Yeah. Do you find that you get lost when you do it that way? When you don't have an actual script, when you're drawing as you go along, do you find that, oh crap, I kind of, you know. Didn't think
I
this
need
through.
I need the script if I'm doing something like Cosmic Wars,
okay,
right? But with duty, it's for some reason the plot works enough for me because I write the dialogue afterwards.
Yeah.
But if I was to draw Forbidden, which I'm not, I have an artist that's drawing it. I would need my script.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It all depends on what the subject is.
Yeah. JD Calderon, who was also on the show a few last month, I believe, he said writing comics was his first literary love. And although he says, quote, and although I do write prose on occasion, I prefer seeing my ideas come to life through art. So he likes the idea of what we were talking about. You write something and automatically, you know, the artist will send you something. You're like, oh, wow, there it is. There are my characters acting.
Yes.
Alive.
I can tell you, I get excited whenever I see the layouts for Forbidden.
Yeah.
So when I submit because I get 10 pages out of pop, the layouts.
Yeah.
And I approve 10 pages first and then we move on to the inks.
Yeah.
I get excited.
Especially when it's a good artist, yes, right? Yes. When you look at what he was able to do based on what you wrote, you're like, wow. He got it.
Yes.
And it is exciting. It's exciting to see these things. When you get the email, you're like, oh, I got an email. Look at it. You're like, oh, Dunk. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
No. 100% agree. Definitely.
Honey.
But yeah, no, I mean, writing comics, dude, like, and it's funny because you read comics as a little kid and some of us want to be comic writers.
Yes.
Right. And you realize how hard it is when you first start doing it because it's not just, you know, I mean, once you got it, but it's not just putting, you know, a couple of words on the page and, you know, just telling these guys that you still have to know, like you said, pacing, premise, catalog, character,
individualization, mm-hmm. right? So each character has to have its own DNA. Each character has his own speech patterns, way of operating, way of talking, communicating. Absolutely. It's got to be believable. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the worst things you can do is that everyone speaks the same way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's another one, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. There's so much that goes into creating a comic.
Yes.
And yet, here we are. We're still doing it. We're still writing those comics because it has, I think, to me, and it's an obsession. Like, it really is.
We're like crackheads.
It's like being on crack. Yo. You know what we didn't do last week?
What, crack?
Story time. Yes. You haven't told us a story, Sam. What's going on?
Here's a story. What's of a lovely on? Lady.
You don't have any stories?
You don't have to call. No, do I have any stories? I don't have any stories. No. I had a story. I wrote it down. I said, I got to make sure to remember to talk about this, and I forgot what it was.
And did you? Yes. Damn. Yeah, I noticed that last week we didn't do one. Last week we didn't even have the opening.
No.
We didn't even have the you know. But whatever. It's fine.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
It'll happen.
Things happen. Almost forgot what the ending credits were.
So thanks.
I was like, where's the button?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is what happens, right. you know. We fired Herb prematurely because he would take care of that stuff. Yeah, now I regret firing Herb.
Oh, but, Herb. Well, that's get your meds for this week. Comics.
Get your
Medinas. Some writer's obsession. If you have ideas for us to talk about here on the show, hit me up on Instagram at Medina Whip. Or now that we have websites, you can contact Sam at icreatestories.com. You can catch me at medinawhip.com, WIP. And yeah, so what Whip else it. We got going on?
What else we got going on? Your book is being published through?
Darkfire Press. Darkfire Press, yeah. The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Yeah. I'm working with J.M. DeSantis. He has a publishing company called Darkfire Press. Check it out, darkfirepress.com. And by the time this airs, I'm pretty sure the book will be up there. It's not up there just now. But by the time this airs, and you won't see it on the website because we're recording this at the beginning of the month. But by the end of the month, the book should be up on the site. And he's got a very eclectic lineup. He's got Robert Phillips, which we talked about when he was on the show. And actually, Luis Cruz, who we also had on the show, his book is up there. And there are the comics.
There you go. There's Wonder Duck. Coming.
There it is. The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Yeah, available soon. See, that's...
Yes, it's available for $99.
There you go. You can get the digital one for $2.99.
So 99 cents for the paperback?
That's right.
Wow.
Well, no, it's $99. That's what we're working on.
Oh, really?
Well, you know what it is? With printing...
I would have put TBD.
With printing. With print. Yeah, $99.
Yeah.
With printing, the cost of a book could be it fluctuates.
Oh, you know,
whether
it looks.
Yeah, whether it's color or not color, you know what I mean. So that could affect it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's coming up, and I'm excited about it. Actually, Eric is asking if you can call now. If you want to go to a commercial, then we'll get him back on.
Yeah, get him on.
All right, we're gonna get on a commercial. We're gonna have Eric when we come back on the other side of this.
You are listening to Catch the Crew.
So let's go to... Why are we hiding? I'm not hiding. I'm trying to catch it. Oh, what are we catching? What are we going to catch? I'm trying to catch the craze. Catch the craze. The what? The craze? Like the disco craze? No.
What are you wearing? What do you mean, what am I wearing? What are you
Holler.
Wearing? Fresh. No one says fresh anymore.
Why are you acting up?
I'm not acting up. You acting up.
Come on, man. Stop acting up.
Candy girl.
All right, we're back with Catch the Crazy. We have a special guest on the phone.
Hello. Oh, that's me. Hey, Eric, what's up, buddy? Sorry, I had a brain fart, bro. I just stopped in the middle of everything. Welcome to Catch the Crazy. We have a very, very, very important guest. His name is Mr. Eric Hutchinson, and he's the CEO and founder of MBN Studios. Welcome on the show, Eric.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, man.
No worries, man. No worries. How's Cali treating you?
Dude, it's a madhouse out here, bro. This is some next level stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, with every experience you get, you know what I mean. Things go up a notch. But
absolutely.
But yeah, LA has been good.
Good, man. And, good. The gentleman who picked up the phone, Eric, just so you know, is Mr. Sam Vera. He's the creator of Catch the Crazy, and he's the host on the show. I'm co-hosting, helping him out a little bit. But so that's who picked up the phone.
Nice to meet you, sir.
How do you do?
So, Eric, let's start from the beginning, buddy. I want the audience to get to know Eric Hutchinson. So I need you to tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, your influences and things of that nature. I'm going to leave it open-ended so you can speak as long as you want.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a longer story, but let's get into it. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana. I mean, experience wise, you know, being a kid, I was always into, you know, anime and, you know, kind of like, I guess, all branded stuff that was just coming, to America at the time. Right. So, you know, I was big into imported video games and, you know, all kind of Japanese culture based stuff. And, you know, I did comics and it was kind of during the time of Image development, you know what I mean, where Image Comics were coming out and kind of shaking up the scene. Yeah. So I loved all of the ideas, like the independent stuff and the cultural influences, and everything was kind of coming together, you know, during the time of, you know, my my high school days. So
right,
I definitely dated myself just now.
Did you?
But what really got interesting is, even though, you know, I became this artist and, right, you know, I was really into all of these things, for some reason, you know, I bought into the narrative that, you know, you can't make a living at this, and you know, being an artist is a pipe dream, and you know, all the kind of thing that people say to you.
Right.
And then besides that, I also had, you know, the artist's syndrome of, you know, comparing my artwork to masters that had been doing it for years, and you know, my work wasn't good enough, and you know, so you really sit in this place where there's no confidence in living a creative life.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you kind of embody this idea or the structure that, you know, you have to do something else. So I made my decision. I went into computer engineering. I figured I'd kind of bridge my love for gaming. I was very much a competitive gamer. I was in StarCraft and Diablo and a lot of the Blizzard titles,
right,
pre Overwatch. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that got pretty good, and, you know, so I did networking and all those kind of things. I wound up working a lot of jobs for the University of New Orleans. I went to LSU for a couple of years and did some program work there. I got an opportunity to do a H-1B visa training program, which was this program that was trying to give, you know, youth the opportunity to get high-level training certifications in technology in New Orleans. They had a, you know, a program that they were trying to enhance it. So what you have to do is you have to take a test, like an IQ test.
Yeah.
And then depending on how you score, you could pretty much, you know, take whatever type of certification that they offered.
Right.
And so I got 2 points away from perfect, not the both, but
wow, look at you. Check you out. Look at the brain on Eric.
Yeah, look, man. Yeah, it's there. It doesn't always work sometimes, but it's there. And but what they did was they said, well, you can pretty much take whatever you want. I said, well, right, what's your most expensive? And because I mean, that's the thing, not coming for money and all that kind of stuff. My whole thing is that if I can get a value out of this, then
right,
even better. And they said, well, look, we have a Microsoft certified engineer course, but you know, are you familiar with these technologies and servers and networks? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So they put me into the program. And I'm the youngest kid there. I was 17 years old. Wow. You know, I'm in a room full of like, you know, 30 and 40, 50 year old guys.
They were hating you.
I've been doing this for years. And yeah, I was the youngest person to fulfill the program. I was the only one to take every test without failing. And I had a Microsoft certification by, you know, 18, 19 years old.
Wow,
and that kind of put me on a course to, you know, develop myself very quickly. So I started working for the university as a program specialist. I was in the project group. So we did things like networking for the university. I did things like I started getting into training where we were actually teaching companies and doing training seminars and that kind of stuff. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. And that shook my world up. Jeez, crazy. Yeah. I lost family members. I lost friends. You know, the house I grew up in had 6 feet of water in the house. You know what I mean? It's something that changes your whole perspective.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? About what's important, how fast life can happen to you. And so, you know, me and my wife decided to stay in New York and have a go at, you know, making it there.
Right.
For all honesty, we really didn't have much to go back to.
Yeah.
So, you know, deciding to kind of start afresh and start anew was a hard decision, especially because, you know, my parents went back and my sister went back and, you know, it was hard to separate myself from the family that you know, came up there with us. But,
What made you come to New York, Eric?
Yeah. Well, the weird thing, my uncle was one of the few family members that had the ability to stay with. And he had come to New York, done construction work for a pretty big company that did a lot of plumbing in the city.
Right.
Okay. And yeah, he had done well for himself. You know, he had a nice big house that we all could comfortably be in. Okay. And he had like extra 20 people in his house. You know what I mean? He had my parents, he had his sister, jeez, his brother, his mom, you know, nieces and nephews. And you know, God bless them. They took us all in and really allowed us to get back on our feet. You know what I mean? So that was a real blessing.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and from that, you know, my wife got back into school. She's an environmental scientist and I started work and I started doing training, pretty quickly. The company realized that I was really good at my job.
Yeah.
And they hired me. They went from having me as a contractor teaching a few, simple application classes to having me be full-time, IT and application instructor. Right. So I wound up through their program because this was a worldwide franchise for training. I'm not going to mention the name of the company,
Gotcha.
Legal purposes, but but let's just say they trained a lot of Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
And so I got to, you know, be in the shoes of, you know, marketing departments and the shoes of project management and C levels and all this kind of crazy stuff where I started seeing how big companies work,
right.
And what kind of needs they had as far as technology was concerned. So, you know, that taught me a lot. I became one of the company's top instructors. They had like 40,000 worldwide, and I was in the top 20.
Wow.
From personal reviews and company reviews and that kind of stuff for what they sent us out for. I did like a bunch of, you know, different development systems. So we did things like forecasting models for businesses, sales departments. We did integrated technology that allowed like cookies to track the movement on a website. So I was part of these weird think tanks and stuff that was developing technology that really like now is so commonplace. Like, you know what I mean? We don't even think about it anymore, but
the fact that you were exposed to that stuff, it's great because it kind of shaped, you know, now you start thinking, okay, I can use some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it became like this kind of double-edged sword. It's like, I also saw the negative side of it. I saw where the technology was going. I saw the lack of personal, you know, privacy and space. And so these things started to actually become internal conflicts with me. You know what I mean? Because here I'm this young guy, but, you know, I'm pretty idealistic in how I look at things, but, you know, for the most part, I'm also a little bit of an anarchist, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, trying to marry these ideas of breaking the rules when the rules are set against the people, you know, was always like this, you know, kind of lingering sensation that was in the back. It was like, I saw the rules being stacked against the common person, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, how can we play this game a little differently? Or what would be the, you know, what would be the flaws in the system that can be exploited? And I realized, you know, pretty early on that at that level, that either I was going to have to choose. I was going to have to choose a path, whether I either continue to, you know, go in a certain direction, or, you know, and maybe lose myself as a person, or, you know, fight, you know what I mean? Fight for other stuff. Right. And it was actually my wife that kind of keyed me into it, because she saw me like doodling one day and I hadn't drawn in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I'm doodling. She's like, you can draw? I'm like,
with that, how long have you been married?
Yeah, we had been, I mean, we were together by that point. Yeah, that was like, I mean, we were, yeah, we were together probably a good 8 years.
8 years, you know, you can draw.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was, I mean, it was, well, no, by that time it was 4 years. Yeah. So, yeah, so okay. I had been drawing for like 2 years before we got together. Then, yeah, so, yeah, we were like 4 years at time of marriage.
That's
and she was like, holy crap, you can draw.
That's
But, yeah, but it was interesting. She was like, you know, if you don't use this talent, you're gonna lose. And I was like, well, you know, it's already lost, like I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Anything. She's like, it's a gift, like you should do something with it, you know. So, you know, that kind of put the seed out there. And then it was really interesting. It's a crazy story. I haven't shared it with too many people, so, you know, this is a
good exclusive place to let it out,
but for the most part, I was not formally fired. I was asked to take a $30,000 pay cut.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, once you then bought your house, you got your car, you know, you seen
the
building
a deal.
Family and
that's
doing this
deal.
And, you know what I mean, you got you set. So right when, you know, we were making a lot of these, you know, life decisions, I got asked to take a major pay cut. And, you know, this is after increasing the revenue of this company probably by almost $1 million in less than 6 months. Wow. We had raised it from like, yeah, it was like 2.7. I think we got it up to like 4.1 million Jeez. In just this one franchise location. So it was really a kick in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was because I was completely ignorant of office politics. I actually hired my own boss and she put me in that position. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, look, I'm hearing that y'all firing me and I'm going to go file for unemployment, which is what I did. I'm like, and I took it as a step back. They wound up calling me back because they had a big contract that needed a teacher. And they basically said, if I didn't go to it, that they wouldn't accept any other teacher. Because I'd worked with them for a long time.
Right.
This was a big company. This was a major contract.
Yeah.
And they wound up contracting me because I said, you know, I can't go back and work, you know, for you as an employee, but you can contract my company.
There you go.
And that's when I realized the power of having your own company and having your own ability to get work through a company. So, for example, like if you're an employee, right, you pay taxes first,
right?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you get to spend whatever's left over after you pay taxes. But with a corporation, you actually spend first. So you keep all the money, you spend it first, and then you pay taxes on what's left. And just that little simple concept made me realize, I was like, oh, if everybody kind of knew this, and everybody was able to set up their own company and start doing their own thing and be a little bit more independent. It's not for everybody, so it's not like I recommend it, but there's certain systems that are in place that if you take advantage of them, they benefit you. A corporation in this country is treated way better than a person.
Right.
So, you know, if you can represent yourself as a company as well, it makes a lot of sense. So,
when you learned this, Eric, was the idea of having or create, like, what were you thinking of creating at that point? Because at that point, you maybe thought, oh, okay, a company can grow out of this.
I think the funniest thing was that I really wanted to make a company that helped people, and I know that seems like really silly. But for the most part, I wanted to take all of the knowledge that I had generated over this time and apply it to helping other people build their company. So Imbion at first, that's what it was. It was actually a business development company. Right. It was a creative company only in terms of like helping people build their business. Right. So if they needed graphic design, if they needed web design, if they needed this or that, you know, we were there to develop the process. We would evaluate the company step by step. What's the different, you know, directions that they'd have to go and that kind of stuff. And that's where the company came from.
Right.
It wasn't until probably less than a year, it was a couple of months into the actual business that that I did this website for a guy who had a webcomic. And his previous designer had like, you know, messed him over and took his money and didn't really set things up right or whatever the case was. And, you know, I said, well, look, I'll fix this. And you know, I told him I would do it for, you know, like a small price. It wasn't anything major, maybe like a couple hundred dollars or something like that. Right. But I told him I would set him up in a program and in a system where he could do his own updates. Because my main thing with designing and developing, especially like when it came to websites, was always making the person independent, not having them always rely on me, but having them being able to rely on themselves and be self-sustaining. So I always got people thinking in that direction. And that was the, you know, that was the catalyst with this relationship. So for the most part, he was very excited about that. That's what he always wanted. And, you know, I taught him how to use the system. I set everything up for him. He was like, this is fantastic. So I'm like, cool, with that coin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't have it. And I'm like, what are you doing right now? You know what I mean? Like, don't be that dude.
Right. So,
he said, no, it's just that I paid for a table at New York Comic Con. It was more expensive than I thought. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell my book at the show. And I promise you, whether I make the money or not, I'm going to pay you after the show because I'll, you know, have better understanding of my finances or whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
Damn.
I said, yo, like, we can get creative with this payment because they don't have to be in dollars and cents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you get tickets to said show, you know?
said show.
So like, yeah, actually I have an extra two tickets. And, you know, my book doesn't take up much space. So if you want to, you know, get down on the table with something, that was the moment. So it's like you have these defining moments.
Right.
And that was it. I was like, oh, like, wait, I used to want to do things like this. Mm. You know what I mean? So I called up my boy who actually moved back to New Orleans, and I'm like, yo, you remember that dream we had about like doing our own comic book and, you know, getting out there and being creative and, you know what I mean, this kind of thing. And he was like, yeah. I was like, that could totally happen if we could put a book together in like 2 weeks.
Damn.
He was like, 2 weeks? like,
that could totally happen.
You know what I mean? lost your marble. But yeah, I was like, let's just do it. I'm like, what do we have to lose? And 2 weeks was so that we had another week for printing. So I was like, we got to put together. So we started rapping about the stories. And we dusted off every old idea we had. We were like, what can we use? And you know what I mean? And we put together this sci-fi and this horror. I was like, okay, well, look, we don't have really enough for either one of these to be a full book. So why don't we do a half and half and do a flip page like they used to do back in the day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So make a flip book.
Yeah.
And it'd be a horror on one side, sci-fi on the other. You know what I mean? Bang, it's done.
And we
finished it.
Wow.
Got it done. And we put it out there. And the show was absolutely amazing, not just in the experience itself, you know, because it's like whenever you have that first time and you do from that time grow and become successful and do all these other kind of stuff, that feeling that you have in that initial moment, you never take for granted because it's like it's so easy to miss how you feel and how exciting things are when you're beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'll never forget 100%. How excited I was.
That's exactly how we felt. Like Sam and I go back, dude. Like even before you met me, I was working with Sam. Yeah, it was Crazy Comics. And the first time we did a show, bro, like we printed out our own comics, similar to the type of thing that you did. We stapled them ourselves, bro. Like, we printed out like 500 books thinking we were going to sell this thing out. Like, it was out of control.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was out of control.
We did the same thing. Yeah. We printed 500 books. But check this.
Yeah.
So we printed 500 books. I'm thinking about the margins, right? So all the stuff I learned from business is now applying to my creativity.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, okay, so I had to print 500 books to get them at a margin where we could sell them for two something and we still make profit, blah, blah, blah. So this is what happens. So the books come in and they're too dark. And so I call up the printing company. I'm like, what are you doing to me? Like, I need these for, like, yesterday. They're like, I'm sorry, sir. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, we can see it printed out too dark, but it was a problem with the CMYK and the Darby and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, yo, just send me, like, immediately send me, like, another. So they sent more copies. But now this time the edge was printed, like it was breaking apart on the saddle stitch.
So damn, I called back.
I'm like, what are y'all doing? And they're like, I'm so sorry, sir. You know what I mean? Like, it was hilarious because by the end of it, we had 1,500 books.
They just kept sending you bad books.
So the margin on these things was so high. We literally could, and later, once we were just giving them away as free gifts, like when people bought anything.
Absolutely.
In that first show, we did actually sell 200 books, which is nothing to sneeze at. Nope, you know what I mean?
Not at all,
you're
dude.
Selling a brand new idea that nobody's seen before.
Yep.
We made a bunch of contacts. People were, you know, contacting us for contract work and all kind of things. And I was like, amazing, why did I ever believe the idea that I couldn't be successful at this? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why did I ever buy into that concept? It's obviously not true. And I literally saw an entire industry in front of me that is based upon people being creative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, as I started to dive deeper into that business and into that understanding of this industry, what I realized was that it was built on the backs of creatives. And what had happened is the writers, the artists, and those kind of people, for the most part, with the exception of, you know, like a few famous ones, these people are stepped on. You know what I mean? Like, they literally stepped on to accomplish a goal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's when I think In Beyond switched. It switched into a creator-owned business. It switched into a supporting the actual people that bring ideas into reality, bring it to life. Right. I'm like, those people should own their stuff. Yeah. They should be able to do what they need to do. And if I can help them put the business behind it, right?
Yeah.
If I can help them build the model, then all of a sudden I have a purpose. In what I serve, I'm taking all of the knowledge that I've gained and giving them that experience. So the technology, helping people build their websites, helping people whatever they need, like actual branding, graphic design of their logos, trademarks, copyrights, intellectual property building. We help people with all of that.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So
now
it became like this, you know what I mean? It became this different model.
Yep.
And our main struggle was, how do we make money? Because if we're doing all of this stuff and the people own their stuff, how do we make money?
Exactly.
And so we realized it was more of a service-based industry. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as we help others, they become portfolio pieces for us. And those portfolio pieces get us contracts to do much, much bigger and more financially lucrative jobs.
Right.
You know
I got
what I mean?
You. Yep.
And that's that. So my team makes fun of me because I use the word synergy a lot. But that's what the synergy is. It's like, if I help you accomplish your goal,
right,
and then through that achievement, you know, you shouting me out as the one behind that, the company behind that, then all of a sudden we make a movement together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now we all move up. It's the idea of us all, you know, moving up together. And it's a very hard idea and concept to get across to somebody,
of course,
because especially if they've been burned before, and we've been burned lots of times, like we did stuff for these rock bands that didn't pay us or stole our artwork. Like, my artwork has been in like one of the top rock magazines, and my name is not mentioned at all. You know what I mean? Like,
that's,
you imagine not getting credit for yourself.
Yeah, that's
you
know crazy, what I mean, dude.
And so it's like, you know, we went through a lot of experience. We had other rock bands that paid us so much and supported us. You know what I mean? So it's like, not just to knock rock bands, because we've had it on both sides. But for the most part, it's like you have different experiences in lots of different groups that'll lead you to, you know, treat things in different ways, where you have to be very cautious with yourself. You have to be very cautious with your time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And your investment into things. So we've been learning.
And I remember, Eric, because I've been there since I met you many years ago at a convention, like that. And you were killing it then. And back then, Inbian Studios was Inbian Studios. And like you said, I remember when you started out like that. And now it's evolved. And we're on your website as we're talking, we're scrolling through you, and there are just so many, you know, different things on the website, tabs for a magazine. You have anime, cinema. You're doing, you know, you're doing animations. You're reviewing movies, and like it's gone. Yeah, it's like it's growing. It's growing
much. Like I had to realize, because you know, along the way we had a lot of people telling us what to do. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people saying, "Hey, you know, are you comic book people? Are you this? Are you that?" And I'm like, "Yo, I'm like, we're multi-potentialites. We got creative ADD, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're basic. Like, there's no box to put us in. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and except we want to creatively express ourselves. So now it's like moving into podcasts recently, moving into, you know, the magazine, I think, has opened up a whole nother side of us, because you know, not only are we doing reviews and commentaries and that kind of stuff on projects that inspire us, but on top of that, we're getting to shout out other independent artists or creators that we've like, you know what I mean, like nobody's ever heard of, but they're doing some of the absolute most amazing things, and creating stories unlike anything you've heard of. And that's I think the hardest thing in this kind of, you know, soup or gumbo of creativity. Trying to find things that are unique, that stand out, that are interests, that are entertaining at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Even when you're trying to educate, you know, if you're not doing it in an entertaining way, you know what I mean? Then it's like, you know, it goes past a lot of people, because ultimately that's, you know, that's our experience.
And there are so many things out there that we're not exposed to, because they're kind of hidden. You know, there's just no exposure for them. And this is a great way to do that. And it's amazing, dude. So what's going to happen with NBN? I mean, I know you were doing NBN Con. Is that still something that goes on every year? Or?
Yeah. We're still doing NBN Con. NBN Con is basically a way for us to feature not only, you know, all the different projects that we work on and all the different people that we work with, but also to bring new people into that experience. We actually found out that for a lot of people, we're their first show out in Long Island, in the New York area. So it's like, you know, for the most part, being that we have a responsibility to make the experience something where people learn. And it's like, okay, when you come to a show, so what we've done is we've done printing services for people where they come there, their prints are ready for them, you know what I mean? At the table, they can lay it out and they learn different layout techniques and that kind of stuff. We actually mastered a few different layout techniques very early on in NBN's career, and because of that, we saw it duplicated. We saw other people picking up how we laid out the table. For example, like when we first started, a lot of people did their posters via flipbooks, right? They would get those artist portfolios
and put them on the table. Yep.
And they'd have, you know, 20 different prints, and you'd have to flip them out, and they'd try to put their two best prints, you know what I mean, up, and maybe they'd have like prints on the signage behind them. Then people started going into the wall of signage, where it's like they got bigger and bigger, where they had more and more, you know, prints kind of laid out. But we started this idea of the mini print. So we would make these smaller versions of all of our large prints, and we laid them out on the table as their own product. So you get the small ones, and then from the small ones, you say, hey, you have the big one like this, you know what I mean? And then that was a upsell potential. So, you know what I mean? Figuring out different ways to be creative about how you lay things out. Now we see everybody doing it. You know what I mean? It's like a thing now. Right, but I remember when I saw nobody doing it. You know what I mean? Course. And it got to be my idea. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just a kind of a cool place to be, where it's like, you know, you inspire the next generation. You give them an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And when you said access, and I think that's the next thing that we're really starting to push. So we got into filmmaking. We actually just shot a documentary on the island of Dominica, which was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, a lot of you are probably familiar with it from Pirates of the Caribbean. The second one and the third one, they had parts that were actually filmed when like the pirates were running away from like the native people and that kind of stuff. That's all Dominica. It's beautiful, and my wife happens to be from there, so we get the inside scoop every time we go.
That's amazing. And, when is that out? Yeah, when is that coming out?
Hopefully, it's gonna come out later this year or early next year.
Okay.
But it was a documentary on the women of Dominica. It's a project that my wife is working on, so it's just been, you know, kind of amazing to give people that opportunity to be part of a film crew, to learn about sound, to learn about different cameras and, you know, shooting technologies and that kind of stuff. So that's our main thing, is trying to give exposure to that. We're going to be doing something in New Orleans in a couple of months, where we're going to give a program where, you know, if you have a project and you want to create it, you want to shoot it, we're going to give you access to cameras and basically fund somebody's project. So we want to be able to do that in New York. We have a music video coming up with a partnership that we started with a music studio. And it's just, it, like I said, it's just so many things hitting, you know, at the same time. But we want people to be inspired to be more creative and to know that they can something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, man. I'm telling you, man, you're like a light, man. You're just guiding everybody to like do better things. And like you said, just don't think, oh, that's never going to work. You know,
right?
You know, and I know. I mean, because I, you know, I know you personally, and I know that you've instilled that in your children, and they're doing what they, you know what I mean. Like, it's amazing. It's just you just keep paying it forward.
Yeah, my son is 9. My daughter is 3 right now. But they're next level kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? One. I mean, it's like if you're blessed to have children. I mean, I don't recommend them to anybody. You know, like, I don't recommend children to anybody. All right, I just want to make that perfectly clear, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's work, yo.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard.
It's not anything to take for granted.
Absolutely.
You know? And for the most part, it's like, if you are so blessed to have them, keeping that perspective that this is a gift, and no matter what, you know what I mean? I mean, there's so many kids that are born with different kinds of challenges. I used to teach a lot after I, you know, was first starting the business. I actually started teaching animation and teaching art in Long Island. And I taught everything from kids that were on the spectrum. I taught high-risk youth, you know, that either had, you know, suffered trauma from gang violence or home environments or anything like that. And, you know, my whole thing is like, being from the Night Ward of New Orleans, I identify with all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having some kind of form of dyslexia. I was never formally tested for it, but I made it through school.
Right.
But my freshman algebra teacher detected it in some work that I was doing. And she was like, he probably has something, you know what I mean? And, I never looked at it as a negative.
Yeah.
Just because it's like it empowered me to think. I noticed I thought differently from most people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And just because I was able to function with it, it never, in my viewpoint, it never hindered me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you turned that negative into a positive.
Yeah, but that can't be said for everybody. And there's a lot of kids out there that it does, especially in the social structure that we have. It makes it very difficult for them because they're feeling everything just like we're feeling, but their expression is different.
Yeah.
And if you don't take the time to learn their expression, then, you know, it can be very frustrating for a lot of people. But like I said, my experience with them has been beautiful. My kids, you know, are experiencing life on a different level.
Right.
You know, we decided to homeschool our kids before, you know, we knew what they were, what they wanted to be or anything like that.
Yeah.
And our main thing was like, you know, especially with me, because, you know, I wanted to know how the socialization component worked in that.
Yeah.
But I realized these kids are more socialized than I ever was because they do all these different classes. You know,
of course. Yeah. So they're socializing regardless. So you don't even have to worry about that.
They're socializing regardless. Yep. And they just have to be around kids.
That's it.
And, but their education gets to be, you know, kind of managed and accelerated. And it doesn't, you know, to have, you know, entrepreneurial, environmental scientist, computer engineer, parents.
that doesn't hurt at all.
Like, you know what I mean? We're not intimidated intellectually by very many subjects, you know what I mean? Especially at that age, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I could do some, you know, grade one science. We're good, you know? but it's just knowing that even if we didn't have that, you know what I mean? There's certain things that we can teach or supplement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And put into play. But, my son told us at 3 he was born to be an actor.
Yeah.
And, he proved that.
And like, he's doing his thing. He proved it.
And had I not gone into doing comics, he would have never connected with the opportunities that he did.
Isn't that
crazy?
Because
I was working on a project with somebody for a comic book. And then from that, it sparked a relationship that allowed him to get seen on the level that he needed to. And he wasn't kidding. He was born to do this. He's already won like multiple awards for his acting. He's
amazing.
Killing it on a whole nother level.
I can't wait to see.
We can't say about what this project is, but this project is next. I told you, but you can't say that.
Don't worry. Nope. I ain't saying anything, bro. Good for you, man.
Yeah, he's got a partnership with Lego now.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, those of you know Queen Sugar, with Ava DuVernay on Oprah Winfrey's network, like he does an amazing job on that, playing Blue Borderline. So
there you go.
And it's just like I'm proud of him, not just because of the level of success, but I'm more proud of him with the work ethic that he puts towards the things that he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I tell him all the time, I'm like, I don't need you to be a famous actor. That's great if that's what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I said, I would need to see you put the work in. Because no matter how much talent you have, someone who is willing to work will always beat somebody who sits on their talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's like, with Kobe Bryant, you know, rest in peace. He always used to say he had the talent, but I'm going to work as if I didn't have the talent. So that when somebody sees me work, it's like, I didn't have the talent. Yep.
The combination is deadly. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like it is something that takes you to such a stratosphere of development and inspiration. You know what I mean? And it's not about being a perfect person or not having your flaws. It's just about when you here for a purpose and you fulfill it. And that's why even with that situation, as sad as it is, it's sad for all of the families, you know, that lost in that situation.
Yeah.
You can see from people's reaction the level of inspiration he put into the world.
It's, you know what I mean? It's incredible. It's amazing.
And even though it might not be seen on the same scale, I am sure everybody else that was in that plane had that same amount of inspiration to their family members and the love that they must have given and time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it doesn't always have to be on a global scale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They affected the people that they were around.
Yeah.
And if we all thought like that, where we just, you know, we just thought about how we use our time, how we invest into our daily experience and the daily experience of the people around us, we wouldn't have half the problems we got today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, agreed. Absolutely,
that's,
man.
That's really all it is.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
You know, we just want to keep people on a positive tip. You know, no negativity is out there.
That's right.
But, you know, if you let it pull you down, if you let it affect your, you know, just your integrity.
Yeah, it will.
You know, that's a very important word in our household.
Absolutely. And it will pull you. If you let it will pull you down. So you can't let that happen, you know?
Yeah.
Eric.
And like I said,
you're dude, I can talk to you for hours, bro. I really, we've run out of time a little bit here, but
no worries.
Before I go, I just want to let, I'm just going to give you some time just to let people know, you know, how to find, the work that you're working on, when NBN Con will be happening again, and your website.
Okay. For the most part, NBN.com, three little words, N, B, and on. So N-B-E-O-N. And that's pretty much across all platforms at NBN on everything. We have at NBN Mag and at NBN Con. So those are two other directions that we've been going in. Beyond Con was always the last Saturday in August, so we keep it pretty consistent.
Nice.
And it's at Hofstra University. We have a partnership with them. This year we're going to be doing some training exercises for different types of creativity. We're also bringing YouTube and different type of analytics and things that'll help people build their YouTube channels up. So that's going to be something that we specifically want to start helping people with, because we saw that was a need.
Excellent.
But yeah.
All right. Cool, brother. Are you going to be in New York in August? Are you going to be at the show?
I am going to be floating around this country so much. I am literally flying back and forth. We're going to be in Oregon next week for a project.
Jesus.
That's going to be a new one for me. We're going to be back in New Orleans pretty soon. We'll okay. be in New York. And like I said, for the most part, in all of the spots that I go to, we got crew there. So, you know, if anybody wants to meet up and chat, there's probably somebody that's in, you know, each of the different areas where you can connect with us and you know, meet face to face with at least some of the team, you know.
There you go, brother. Well, listen, when you're in New York, hit me up. We'll hang out.
No doubt, man.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate it. And we'll keep in contact, man, because I got to talk to you about more stuff.
Yeah. We gotta talk about that stuff. All right.
All right, brother. Have a good one, Eric. Take care, man. Good luck. Man. Say hello to Farrah for me and the kids, all right?
I will. Definitely.
All right, man. Have a good talk one, to man. You soon. Bye. Bye.
Is a very extremely interesting, fascinating story.
Dude, Eric's story is insane. That guy has a
crazy history.
Yes,
and a lot of drive and ambition.
Yes,
that is crazy,
dude. It's crazy because he's one of those people that it's like you just want to do it. Like he's got that thing where like what he's doing, I want to do that too, and I want to have like he's got that kind of personality. He's a great dude. He's like very down to earth, very very humble, nice. I mean, he knows his stuff, but when you talk to him one on one, he doesn't come off like an arrogant, you know, just right. jerk. You know, right. he's very genuine and he's a very good guy. He's a good guy. I've known him for a few years and he's a very nice guy. And his wife is amazing too, man. She's great.
Yeah. No, man, I love the fact when you said what brought you into, he says, you know, to help people.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was pretty cool. But when you think about how he's taking it, he has so many divisions within it, and the fact that he's...
That website is crazy, dude.
Yeah, no.
It's insane.
It's like, it's a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know, he's like, he's got animation, he's got a magazine, he's got like, the last thing that you pulled up, that little ninja thing looked really good. I was like, what is that? I'm going to have to go home and kind of play around on the website. Yeah, now he's got so much stuff going on.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good, man. His kids, his son is an actor, and his daughter, he was telling me she wants to be a dancer, you know? So like they're a very very nice family.
That's pretty cool. I mean, and for someone who said that he doesn't recommend having kids.
Yeah, no.
He did a great job with his.
Yes. So big shout out to Eric. Thank you very much for being on the show. And I actually want to talk to Farrah as well, because she actually directed that documentary they were talking about.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, she also does a lot of her own. Like she, you know, she's an independent. I call it an independent artist. I mean, she does a lot of things. So I definitely want to talk to her, see when she wants to get on the show. But they're so busy, it's kind of hard to get them. We almost didn't have Eric. Eric texted me yesterday. He's like, dude, what time is the show? Can we move it to Wednesday? Because he's got so much going on. But he was very gracious, and thank you very much, Eric.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on the show. But, yeah. So that's the end of February's show.
Is it?
Yeah. So now, next week will be our live show.
A live show.
Which is, because remember, this is the 28th. So we have a March live show. Yeah, this is the 28th. Today is the 28th.
When?
It's late. No, don't worry. We got another show tomorrow.
The live show's... Yeah.
Wednesday.
But
yeah,
back before we go forward.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you, man.
It's good stuff.
Kids, just say no.
It's good.
Just stuff. Say no.
You need people like me.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you can put your filthy fingers and say, this is the bad guy.
Yes. So right now, March 4th. Looks like the date for our live show. So get ready next week. And then we'll start the... we don't know who we're going to have on the show yet for March.
No, but our field agent, ooh. Mr. Arroyos.
Yes.
He hit me up with like five guys.
Dude, he's you know what? He's definitely... He's our talent scout. Aníbal Arroyo. Thank you very much, Aníbal. You're doing work.
You're doing... You better work.
You're doing good work.
Mr.
Yeah, he's got a bunch
Arroyos,
of stuff.
Arroz con Pollos. He is actually going to be on our live show in April.
Oh, nice. Yes. So, he told me. He said, book me for April.
He said, book me for April. I said, I'll do one better. You'll want the live show. He's like, Hercules. Right? So, yes, you heard it here. Anibal Arroyo. He was, how did we find Anibal?
You were working on Forbidden.
Forbidden. And you're an artist.
And we met him. We did a Star Wars convention. In Jersey,
where we sold one
book. And he came by, yes, and he, yeah, because
we sat next to some guy who had a big model kit.
And he came by with his portfolio, and you were, at the time, I think we were doing Cosmic Wars, I think. Yes. Duty wasn't even around yet. Even thought of yet. We were doing Cosmic Wars, Star Wars, let's do that show.
Yes.
One book sold, Anibal at that show. Yes. He showed you his portfolio, and you had Forbidden at the time you were working on. And you said, hey, dude, you want to work on this book? And then he was deployed.
That's right.
And then he was deployed because he...
Yes, yeah. And his first day there, he's in the mess hall. He's getting his chow. And next you know, he was eating dirt because there was artillery coming in. And
Really?
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Yes, and I remember he sent us a photo with him standing next to a missile. I don't know if it was a helicopter or a jet where he was standing next to some missiles or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I remember that photo.
So that's how we met Anibal.
Yes, and he did issues 0 and 1.
Yes.
Forbidden. Yep, and I have the last 6 issues being 4 issues being done by another artist from India. Mr. Arroyo Compoyo. Yeah. And he used to be so angry with me because I put Forbidden on the back
for a little bit
and he was pissed.
Yeah, I don't think he's gotten over that yet.
Yeah, he was angry.
He hates Duty.
I know he does.
He hates Duty.
Yes.
If he saw Duty in the street, he'd mess him up, bro.
He'd fight.
He'd fight. Duty ain't got no chance, bro.
He was angry. He used to throw me under the bus. What is that crap?
Well, you know.
And it used to even be even worse that people would buy it.
Yeah.
People love Duty. Yeah. You know, he just did.
So the focus became this and then in my toilet.
Yeah. I got distracted.
That's so funny, man.
He's my old
good old days. But yeah, he'll be on the live show but that's in April. So March, we're working on, because technically it's not the end of the month. This is just when this episode will air. We're still, you know.
Yes. So we're securing our March lineup. If you're interested, give us a shout out. You know, I had a writer, a creator reach out to me on Twitter. Thanks to all of the dozens of followers on Twitter that I think every week I add at least 3 to 6 new followers on Twitter, which is pretty cool. It's growing faster than any other social media platform that we have. If you're a fan of Catch the Craze, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We need to break that 100 mark. We're at 69 now. We started off in September with 50, and thus we added 19 followers. So we'd like to get to the 100 mark.
Yeah, the numbers are a little low right now. But
yes,
yeah,
que pasó.
They're going to grow. And definitely subscribe to the channel. Like you said, youtube.com/catchthecraze.
Crash the craze.
And the link is actually up on my Instagram at Medina Whip. So click on that link, hit the subscribe button, and every Friday you'll see us here wearing the same clothes and talking about topics that you hopefully are interested in.
Yes. any words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom. Look both ways before crossing the street.
See, I see.
Yours?
Crossing the green, not in between.
There you go. Yeah, we're
pretty unique.
We're freaking knuckleheads.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, cool.
So I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and see I am you. With
George the Dreamer.
And you Medina. Are.
You are listening to Catch the Craze.
Yes, nice. And we are outie.
Crazy.
I'm talking about my friend Aquise. I met him.
Say my name, say my name. Right?
This is what you were thinking?
Yes.
Oh,
Lord. He was crabby. He said, I'm the.
You're listening to Catch the Craze on It's the Craze.
You're listening to the Catch the Craze.